We're going to begin in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 in the Old Testament. All right, let's look together. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to just notice the beginning of the Passover. Okay, the way the Passover began. So let's just refresh ourselves a little bit on. Let me refresh ourselves on where we are in terms of Exodus. The Passover occurs during the 10th plague that comes upon the land of Egypt. And we're fairly well familiar with those plagues that God sent upon Egypt. And it was all designed to work on Pharaoh. And it was designed to demonstrate God's power over the gods of Egypt. And culminating in this 10th plague, which is a plague of death. And the Egyptians considered Pharaoh and his firstborn son to be gods, his successor. They were gods. They were considered to be gods to be worshipped. And so God gives instruction to Moses here. So let's pick it up right there. Chapter 12, verse 1. And if you're able, would you join me in standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Well, let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We pray tonight you'll speak to our hearts and minds through it. Lord, prepare us for the moment when we receive the bread and the cup signifying your body and your blood that was given for us. So, Father, we thank you for this now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we think about this Passover, it is called that because the Lord passed over the Lord sent His angel and passed over the land of, or through the land of Egypt, but it passed over the Israelites. And judgment did not fall upon the Israelites. And that is simply because, and only because, they came in faith, trusting God, and they did what God said. God gave them the prescription here. they were to take a lamb. And we've seen the description, a male without blemish of the first year, sheep or goat, and they were to take it, and they were to sacrifice it, and then they were to take the blood, they were to gather the blood. Now, of course, you know, the commandment of the Lord is that they were not to eat the blood of an animal, any animal, that the life is in the blood. They were not to eat of it. But they were to take the blood and they were to apply the blood to the doorpost of their home, the side doorpost and the top post. And this was the signal, this was the indicator that they had taken God at His word. And they were following what He said. And so as they did this, it was more than a ritual, it was an act of faith. And now, when you think about that, consider that they have watched the previous 9 plagues that had come. They've seen that. The first few, they felt its effects as well. Now, the latter ones, God protected the Israelites in the land of Goshen. He protected them from having the same problems that the Egyptians had had. Well, He's protecting them again, but it's not a blanket thing. It is purely on their acting in faith. And so, if you remember in the movie, the Ten Commandments movie, Charlton Heston and great classic movie that's not really very biblical in a lot of places, but, you know, one of the things that there was a young Hebrew man, I don't remember who he was, but he was all concerned because this girl that he liked was Egyptian. And so he snuck around and he applied the blood to their doorpost to protect this family. Well, you know, it's a nice thought, but, you know, that's not what the Lord said. Each family was to sacrifice a lamb, or they were to share a lamb if their family was small. And so, they were to apply the blood. And, that's exactly what they did. Now, the Bible says that in that midnight hour that the Lord passed through all the land, and in every household in Egypt, He struck down the firstborn. And there was death in every home. I mean, think about that. Imagine the impact of that. We experience death here and there. You know, occasionally we see things happen. But imagine if every family in our community, the same night, it's a horrible thing. Folks, unbelief is a horrible thing. You know, if the people of Egypt had turned to God in repentance and in faith, like the people of Nineveh did. You remember when Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached there and he said, "Boy, God is fixing to wipe y'all out." And he was rubbing his hands together. He was ready. He was excited about it. He wanted God to wipe him out. He was kind of an ugly little man. And God did not wipe them out because they repented in dust, cloth, and ash. You know, if Pharaoh had led his people and they had repented in dust, cloth, and ash, I think God would have spared them. But God had a purpose and a plan that went beyond the Egyptians, and so He was going to use the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. He was going to use that to demonstrate not just His power in Egypt, but to demonstrate the way in which each one of us is going to be forgiven of our sins, washed clean, and made right with God. So, as we look at that, it's an interesting story. It's a great, great story. But turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah 53 speaks of the Lord Jesus. Now, you remember what John the Baptist said in John chapter 1 when he saw Jesus. Anybody remember? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, Moses gave the instruction to the people of Israel, and they took a lamb for each household, and they sacrificed that animal, and that animal became a substitute, and that animal paid a price. That animal had done nothing wrong, but that animal paid a price so that they could be covered and they could be protected when the angel of death passed through. And so when Jesus came, He was and He is the Lamb of God. You know, He's pictured even in the book of Revelation, a lamb as it had been slain. And so He is the Lamb of God. Because, why? Because no animal can ever do away with the sins of mankind. No animal sacrifice could ever do that. It just can't happen. So, God was preparing His people, though, for what was going to come. He was laying the groundwork. He was laying the foundation. And so when we come to Isaiah 53, it is an incredible passage. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Well, what a powerful portrait being painted for us here of the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering on the cross how He carried our griefs and our sorrows. How He took our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions. He was wounded for those. He was bruised for our iniquities, it says. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And there is an enormous cost involved in the gospel. And the gospel is free. It is given without cost. But it is not cheap. It is accomplished through the highest price that has ever been paid. You have been bought. You have been paid for. Your sins have been done away with through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the death of Jesus Christ, the suffering of Jesus Christ. And He's the Lamb. He is the Lamb. And it says in verse 10, it says, "When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin." And that is exactly what God has done, is that He was offered so that we would not have to be. We would not have to pay the price. He became our substitute. And so, tonight, we have this bittersweet recognition of what Christ has done for us. It is bitter because we understand something, a little something of what it cost Him. I don't think we can grasp it. We just can't begin to. But it's sweet because it brings freedom to our souls. It brings peace to our hearts. We can lay our head on our pillow tonight in peace and not worry about tomorrow or about troubles or about death itself, because Christ has done everything. I like the church sign. There was a sign up in Fort Smith, I think Barley, that said, "Religion says do, but Christ says done." And it is done. It is complete. It is finished. God has done everything that needed to be done so that you and I could have a relationship with Him and could be saved. And that is an incredible blessing. And it's an enormous thing. But it comes when the Passover lamb is offered. Now, Jesus offered Himself. Typically, what they would do is they would present the lamb 5 days before it was killed. Jesus offered Himself 5 days before He was killed. The people acclaimed Him, or some did. They were excited. "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." But as He looked out over Jerusalem, you remember what He did after that? He wept. He looked out over that great city, and He wept for those people because He knew they had missed their opportunity for the most part. Yes, there were some who had believed in Him. There were some who had followed Him. But so many of them had missed their opportunity. And he wept and He said, "How many times would I have gathered you unto Myself? As a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not. You would not." Well, so Jesus went to observe the Passover with His disciples in the upper room. And that sets the stage for what we celebrate tonight as the Lord's Supper. It is based in that Passover meal. And Susie did a Passover service, or a Passover cedar, they call it, with the children on a Wednesday night. They had you know, the food and different elements representing all everything. They didn't have lamb. I don't know what the problem was there. It is costly, but you know, they went through everything, and in the Jewish Passover, there's a lot of symbolism and there's a lot of meaning. And if some of you were here when Boris was here, you got some of that. If you remember, he loaded AJ up with the bitter herbs, horseradish. And I felt sorry for AJ, honestly, because he, you know, Boris asked for a volunteer. And he jumped up, pick me, you know, and he didn't know what he's getting into, because Boris didn't give him just a little taste of that horseradish. And it was fresh horseradish. This was not processed. This was the real deal, stout as it was. It's pretty tough. And he put a whole spoonful on a cracker or something and shoved it right in AJ's mouth and lit AJ up. So anyway, AJ never has been back. No, actually, he was here for Easter. But he didn't come back for a long time, and I guess he's got his own church, so it's okay. But in fact, AJ's surrendered to go into the ministry, so God's working, and in spite of the bitter herbs and everything. But they go through this whole, it's a whole meal, but they have four cups, and each cup has a meaning. And of course, they drank wine. But they drank the first cup, and they would have a washing of the hands, kind of a symbolic thing. And that may be where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. You know, that would go even further than the washing of just the hands. But then they would have the second cup, and then I think the bulk of the meal came after that one. And then, or was it after the third one? The third cup was the cup of redemption. I can't remember all the names. No, the third cup was the cup of redemption. And that was the cup that Jesus used when he did the part of the Lord's Supper that's recorded. You know, the whole meal is not recorded in our Bibles. It's not there how they did everything. But it would have been after the third cup, or during the taking of the third cup, that he gave them the cup and gave them the instruction. So let's look together in Matthew chapter 26, and verse 26. Matthew 26, and verse 26. He said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" And literally saying, "All of you drink from this cup." Verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament," or that is the new covenant, "which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Well, the fourth cup was the cup of celebration, and Jesus did not drink it. He said, "No, I'm not going to drink again of the fruit of the vine with you until we drink it in the kingdom." And so, here we see the way in which the Lord gives us this understanding. Now, you know, that bread did not become his body. He was standing sitting right there in front of them. Okay? Typically, they reclined. They didn't eat sitting up. They reclined. And typically, on their left arm, they would recline. And that was, reclining was a sign of wealth, of affluence. Only rich people could recline at their meals and have a, you know, have a really nice time. But that's you know, the kind of the thing that the Jews aspired to. But he said, this is my body, and then this is my blood. And what that means is that the bread and the wine were symbols representative of his body and his blood. Other churches teach, other groups teach that it literally becomes the body and the blood, that he is literally crucified over again. But that's clearly not correct from the Scriptures. That's simply not true. Hebrews tells us that he has been sacrificed, crucified for us one time, once and for all time. So we understand that it is a time when we remember what he has done. And there is no salvation conveyed in drinking and eating the elements of the Lord's Supper. There's no grace conveyed. You know, that's part of what the Catholic teaching is, that you receive grace through all these different sacraments. And the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, as they call it, is one of those. So, as we look at it, it is for saved people who are walking with God, who love Jesus, and want to remember what he's done for us. All right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to receive in just a moment the Lord's Supper. And so before we do, I'm going to ask Sheila just to come to the piano for a moment. Give us a moment to pray and seek the Lord. Unless you need to get on the altar yourself. And if you do, then that's fine. We'll get one of these other ladies to come. So. I wasn't just kidding her. I mean, it's true. We all need it. But let's take this moment and let's pray and let's seek it. And if you're not saved, say, well, preacher, not very many here tonight. Surely we're all saved. Well, I hope so. But if you're not, I want to encourage you to let this moment be the moment. You open up your heart to Jesus Christ and trust him. And if you're saved, then I want to encourage you to open up your heart to him. Confess sin. I mean, open it up. He knows. He knows you inside and out. But open up your heart to him and tell him. If you've had a bad attitude, if you've been disrespectful to somebody, if you've disobeyed, if you've taken something that wasn't yours, you've been unkind, whatever it is, God knows. You've allowed some attitude in your heart, God knows. Give it to him tonight. Confess your sin. Father, in this moment, we just want to be cleansed before you. We want to be pure and whole and holy, Father. And so we ask you, Lord, to move in a special way and touch every one of our hearts. And Lord, help us. We don't want to receive the supper in any way that is dishonoring to you or to one another. And we pray that you would give us grace right now, Lord, wherever we need it, Father. Help us to seek your face, to humble ourselves before you, Lord. To confess our sin, to turn from it.